ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه اما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers in Islam, whenever the Muslim makes the shahada with his tongue and he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Whenever he makes that, he needs to understand that this kalima has some serious implications and some serious meanings behind it. When the person claims to believe that there is no other God worthy of worship except Allah, that out of all of the gods that the human beings have created and manufactured for themselves, none of those gods deserve to be worshipped except Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and that he has no partner. That implies that he will not be afraid of anything because he realizes that the creation cannot benefit him nor can it harm him except with what that God or what Allah has decreed. It implies, when he understands this kalima, that he does not subject himself to the laws and the dictates of any other legislation. As for Muhammad al-Rasulullah, it implies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will not put his opinion before the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That his whims, his desires, his interpretations, his culture, his country, all of those things are secondary to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought and explained in his authentic sunnah. And the one who has doubt about this issue, if he has some doubt in the statement la ilaha illallah, or he has some doubt, some shak in whether or not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be unconditionally obeyed when it is against him or for him, if he has some doubt, he needs to know that his doubt causes him to be closer to kufr and nifaq than he is to al-Islam wal iman. So if any of you find yourselves when you put your head on the pillow at night saying to yourself, maybe Islam is not the truth, maybe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not complete, maybe there's some book somewhere in the cave that was written and it contains some hadith that would make something that we're thinking is halal, haram, or vice versa. If you think that the Prophet alayhi sallam has not come and explained this religion in no uncertain terms to the point that he has not left anything ambiguous and unknown as it relates to the deen, if you are in doubt concerning that, you need to start checking and rechecking your iman. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told us in the Quran concerning this point in describing the believers, and he said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Verily the believers, they are the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they do not have any doubt in their iman. Verily, they are the ones who are truthful. Some of you hear what I'm saying, and you may say, this what you're saying is elementary and fundamental and basic. That's why we're Muslims, and that's why we accepted Islam. You're not telling us anything new. We all know that, and there's not a Muslim in his right mind except that he understands what you're saying. I say, wallahi kadabtum. You have lied, and you have made a mistake. Because people don't know what I'm saying. And the actions of the Muslims today is the clearest proof and indication that you don't know what I'm saying. If we knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has relayed the message, and that our religion and the lifestyle of the Muslim is not in need of any addition, and that the religion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala cannot be subtracted and decreased by anyone. If we knew that, then why do the Muslims innovate in the religion? Why do the Muslims introduce in the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was brought and explained in clear detail by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do we create innovations in the religion? Why do the Muslims celebrate the celebrations that they do? We have not ceased to be approached by brothers who want to do the right thing, and they want to know the proof of why we can't celebrate Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Mecca at night time to Jerusalem, and then he made the ascension to the heavens. Muslims take that day and they commemorate that day by making cakes, by making certain foods, by waking up night at night and making different types of worship. The 15th of Sha'ban, the Muslims take this night to be a special night to worship Allah and to get close to Allah. The birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims take it as an opportunity to show their love for the Prophet alayhi sallam. And we stood right here and we made that most controversial statement in Orlando when we said $500 to the man who can bring us proof that you know when the Prophet was born sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. $500 to the person who can come and show us that the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal is the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was 3 months ago and we're still waiting. Those celebrations, I can understand why the Muslims would take them as opportunities to glorify Allah and to glorify the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can understand, not that I agree, I can understand. If you wanted to consider those days to be from the institutions of Islam, I can see your point. In each one of those issues, something tremendous and great is happening. So when the Muslim doesn't know his religion, a shaitan, la'natullahi alayhi, he comes to him and he's able to make him look at these things as being nice. Yuzayyinuha laka. Not that I agree with that, it's still haram, but I can understand. The Muslims don't know the religion. Shaitan comes to him and says, let us show our love for the Messenger of Allah and let us be like the Jews and the Christians. Let us make this day. I can understand. But what I can't understand is how the Muslims would allow themselves to celebrate the celebrations of the Kufar that are built upon and predicated upon kufr and shirk and oppression. How does the Muslim man allow himself to allow his children to come and to bring paraphernalia concerning Christmas to his home, when the people of Christianity are celebrating the birth of their God, Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam? How can the one who knows what La ilaha illallah means, how can he allow himself to let such a thing take place in his home? How can the Muslim allow himself to celebrate Thanksgiving Day? A day in which the people are thanking their God, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he gave them the power to establish their religion. And he gave them the power and the ability to oppress the people who they stole their land. Some of you may say, how do you know, Abu Usama, that the people are celebrating Thanksgiving? We know because there's not a halal meat store except in Orlando. They sell halal turkeys. So when we approach these people and we find out that they're selling halal turkeys, we say, it's haram for you to sell halal turkeys to the Muslims to celebrate this day. They retort and respond by saying, but the Imam so-and-so said it was permissible, and here's the paper to show the 15 Shemite families that have ordered the turkey. That's how we know the people are celebrating Thanksgiving. We know that the people are celebrating Thanksgiving, and that if any of you have been watching the news, you know yesterday in the Macy's parade in New York City, one of the floats that was participating in the parade accidentally hit a lamppost. And a big gigantic lamp glass fell on the head of a lady. And she's now in critical condition along with three other people. The lady was a Muslim. What is she going to say if she dies? Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's going to be her excuse if Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the actions of the people will be judged based upon what they died upon? What's going to be her excuse? What is he going to say? Is that an indication of a person who understands the meaning of there is no God worthy of worship except Allah? Someone may say again. Okay, we celebrate these days. We go to visit our relatives in these days. We partake in the festivities on these days. But we don't do it because we're thinking Isa. We don't do it because we believe in Jesus was born on this day. We're not doing it for that reason. We say to you, still, it's haram for you in any shape, form, or fashion to show any type of wala or friendship or any type of indication that you're in support of it. And that can be proven with too many ayat of the Quran and too many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from them. The authentic hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawud. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them in Medina and he said to them, "Verily I have come to you people, and you people had 2 days of celebration, amusement, and play in Jahiliyyah. Allah has replaced those 2 days with 2 days that are better than those 2 days, and they are what? Yawm al-Nahr and Yawm al-Fitr. Allah has given us 2 days better than that, and they are the 2 days of the Muslims." And the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawud radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he told us, yet again in explaining that we can't celebrate any of these celebrations. He said, Yawm al-Nahr, wa Yawm al-Fitr, wa Ayyam al-Tashriq, Eid Ahl al-Islam. The 2 Eids and the days of the Tashriq are the days of celebration for the Muslims, for the people of Islam. Everything other than that is not permissible in this religion. The Prophet told us in another authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in the hadith of Thabit ibn Dhahhak, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this also has been collected by Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, Thabit says, جَاءَ الرَّجُلُ إِلَى النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقَدْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يَنْحَرَ إِبْنًا بِبُوَانَةً فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ذلك فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل كان فيها وثن من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد من دون الله قال لا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم قال لا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أوفي بنذرك فإنه لا نذر فإنه لا وفاء لنذر بمعصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. The man, he made an oath to slaughter a camel at a place called Buwana. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him, what do you think of this, Ya Rasulullah? I want to slaughter this animal and I'm making an oath to do it at Buwana. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, at that place Buwana, the kuffar in Jahiliyyah, was there an idol at that place that they used to worship? The man said, no, there was never an idol there. He said, is that a place where they used to have their Eid or their celebration? The man said, no, they didn't have an Eid or a celebration there. He said, then go ahead and complete your oath. For verily, it is not permissible to complete the oath when it entails disobeying Allah and when it entails someone taking someone else's money. You cannot make an oath and say, if Allah blesses me with a child, I'm going to take my wife's money and spend it fisabilillah. You can't make an oath taking someone else's property. So had it been halal, the Prophet alayhi salam would allow the man to go ahead and make the sacrifice and to take care of his oath. And he asked them, if this was a place where they were celebrating, you can't make your oath there. So what about when we give ourselves to the celebration totally and completely? Even more so, it's not permissible. So we come here today, brothers and sisters in Islam, to impress upon you the need that we have to begin to truly reconnect ourselves with the people of this first community. Those companions who, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they were disbelievers, and they were doing the evil things that they were doing in Jahiliyyah, when Allah guided them to Islam, they had the true understanding of what it meant, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. There is no deity worthy of being obeyed except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger, and Muhammad is his servant, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى الثبات والتوفيق. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. After this, it was the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on many occasions, whenever people used to come to Medina and they were strangers or visitors, if it was appropriate, he would take the time out to make their presence known. Right? When the Ash'ari tribe, which is from Yemen, came to him, and some sadaqah was given for this tribe, and the sadaqah was some food, and it was only a little bit of food, he presented it to the Amir. And the Amir of this tribe could have understood that the food was for him and those chiefs who were with him. They took that food and they called their people and they said, let us partake in this food from the sadaqah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam let his companions who were from Medina know about the action of the Ash'ari tribe and the virtues of this tribe. When the tribe of Bani Tamim came as a wafd to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the men was discussing with the Prophet alayhi wasallam some affairs, and the Prophet was impressed with him and his tribe. So he said to the community concerning Bani Tamim, inna ashadd an-nas ala dajjal Bani Tamim. Verily the Bani Tamim will be the most roughest, the toughest people against the Dajjal. And we have too many examples of how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed the people about the presence of the visitor. We in this masjid who come here every Friday, if you look around, you'll see faces that you didn't see before. And you may be wondering, what's going on here? Is it because of Thanksgiving? The people have come, they don't have any work? What it is, brothers, is that these brothers who you see around you and these sisters are people who came as far away as New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and other places to partake in a conference that's been given on Route 436, 436 at the Renaissance Hotel. And the theme of the conference is At-Ta'ifatul Mansura Al-Farqatul Najiyah, the victorious group, the same sect. That title comes from an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورا لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will not cease to remain from my group, from my ummah, a group of people who will be victorious upon the truth. It doesn't hurt them, those people who forsake them. They were once with them in their masjid, but then when they saw that the people were trying to establish the hurmah of the masjid, they prevented the mixing of the women and the men. When they saw that, they ran away. It doesn't hurt them, it doesn't harm them. When they noticed and they recognized that when the people started to call the people to the kitab and the sunnah, they forsook them and they ran away. Doesn't hurt them, doesn't harm them. Nor does it hurt them, those who go against them in their opinions. They will remain like that until Allah's affair comes, Yawmul Qiyamah. So these brothers have spent their money to come to this area, not to enjoy Walt Disney World, not to enjoy Epcot, but to participate in trying to get knowledge about what the first generation was upon. So for those of you who thought that I was the stranger all by myself, and no one else was upon this kitab wa sunnah, this is the manifestation of that's not correct and that's not true. It's not correct and it's not true. This is an indication of the reality of what al-Islam is telling us. People who, like myself, before al-Islam, had no guidance, had no knowledge of Allah and Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed them with the understanding that the only Islam that Allah will accept is the Islam that Rasulullah taught to the companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taking the Islam the way they took it and understood it. I do not want the culture of the Arabs I do not want the culture of any people. When you pass it off as the religion, we don't want it. What we want is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought in the book and in the sunnah. Does that mean that we're against Arab people? Of course not. As I look in the crowd, there are many Arab brothers who are beloved to me, more than my family members. Does that mean that the Asians, the Pakistanians, Indians, we don't love them? We don't respect their culture? No, it doesn't mean that. But when your culture is being passed off as other times, and we're telling you, forget what your father said, forget what your country is doing, the Quran and the Sunnah. It only makes sense to the people who have intellect, who utilize their intellect. So with that being the case, brothers, we want to give you a few examples of how those people of the past, whenever something went against their desires and against their whims, they still submitted to the ruling of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how many they are in the lives of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take for an example the hadith of Buraira. Buraira was a woman who was a slave. Our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha purchased the freedom of Buraira. And after purchasing her freedom, she said, Buraira, you are a free woman. You can go. You are no longer in the position where your master can come and have a relationship with you. You are no longer in the position where you have to ask permission to do things. You are free to go and do what you want. You are a free woman. Your aura is like the aura of everyone else. All of the rulings of Al-Islam for the free women apply to you. Buraira was married to a man by the name of Muhiz, who was also a slave. Upon obtaining her freedom, Buraira said, I don't want to remain with Muhiz. He's a slave. He can't go to Hajj unless he asks his master. His time doesn't even belong to him. His master is in charge of his time. How is he going to give me my rights? How is he going to give me and my children our rights? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, he sat there with Abdullah ibn Abbas and his father Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, and they saw Muhiz, the man, walking behind Buraira in Medina crying because he wanted his wife to come back. That's how much love he had for the lady. The Prophet asked Abbas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Abbas, don't you find it strange the love that Muhiz has for Buraira and the hatred that Buraira has for Muhiz? So the Prophet ﷺ went to the woman and said, Ya Buraira, why don't you take the man back? Remarry him again. He felt sorry for him. She said, Ya Rasulullah, are you ordering me to do that? I don't want to be with him, but are you ordering me to do that? Because if you're ordering me to do that, I hear and I obey. He said, no, I'm not ordering you. I'm just trying to make intercession. She said, Izin la hajat alifihi. As long as you're not ordering me, I don't have any need for him. And she didn't marry him. But you see how this woman, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered her to do it, even though she didn't want it, she would have went back to the man. Why? Because if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered with something, they had no recourse except to submit. The Prophet came to the family of a people in Medina, and the companions of the Ansar were people who, if they had a woman who was married before and then she didn't have a husband, they wouldn't marry that girl off until they found out whether or not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to marry her. So this family had a girl. The Prophet said to the father sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marry your daughter to me. The man said, Naam, ni'ma ain anti ya Rasulullah, yes, you will be a good husband. He said, Lestu uridu hali, I don't want her for myself. The father said, who do you want her for? He said, Julaybi, the poor one who they considered not to be very attractive, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, let me ask the mother, which goes to show the Prophet allowed this to happen, for him to go to ask the mother. So therefore, it's from Islam if the father takes the mother's position or her advice concerning the girl. He went to the mother and said, Rasulullah asked to marry your daughter. The mother said, what a good husband the Messenger of Allah is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, he doesn't want her for himself, he wants our daughter for Julaybi. The mother said, Wallahi li amrillah, I will never marry my daughter to Julaybi. Who is he? The daughter, upon hearing this, came out and said, who asked you to marry me? Rasulullah asked us to marry you. To whom, Julaybi? Then marry me to Julaybi, for verily the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not cause my affair to be lost. That hadith is a Sahih Muslim. And that story is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. And it's an authentic incident. Uqash ibn Muhsin was participating in one of the jihad with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon engaging the kuffar and fighting, his sword broke. He was so poor, he had nothing else. Ya Rasulullah, I'm empty-handed, how am I going to fight? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a date tree and broke off a piece of the bomb of the date, a wooden piece. And he said, Jahid Bihadi, go ahead and fight with this. The man didn't hesitate. He didn't ask any questions. He went out with the wood and started fighting the kuffar, killing the kuffar. And he didn't die in the war. Instead, he killed the people. So the one who gave power to the wooden sword of Ukasha is the one who will establish his being. In spite of the people who try to stand in front of him. In spite of you liking people or you not liking people. So we say to the Muslims, reacquaint yourselves with the true understanding of La ilaha illallah. And my brothers and visitors, I say that. And I end on this. You people come here to Orlando, Florida, and we have problems back where we come from in East Orange, in Philadelphia, and New York. And I know of many of those problems, to the point that sometimes we start to look at the situation and the picture looks bleak. I say, Wallahi antum ala khayr. When you compare yourselves to the other existing community, you people are on good from Allah. So continue to push forward and don't look on the size of you. And don't worry about the opinions of the people. For verily, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, according to Umar al-Khattab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامٍ وَلَيَدَعَ بِهِ الْآخَرِينَ. Allah will raise some people with this book, this Quran. He will raise them up, and other people He will put them down by this book. Let us be of those people that Allah honors and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks up by us holding on to this kitab and this sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good in this life and the good in the next life, and to make us of those who are repentant and who are truthful in word and deed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ikhlas in our religion, to make us of those people who are committed to seeing the reality of al-Islam being established in the earth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the rancor and the hatred and the enmity out of our hearts towards the kitab and towards the sunnah when we know it or we don't know it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make His law and to make the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more beloved to us than our own selves, our parents, and our children. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم.